I appreciate that, a pastor who challenges his flock that he's been entrusted with to remember the message titles that have been brought forth. Not that that lessens it if you don't remember, but this one's going to be a little bit easier. This one is The Ships and the Fleet. The Ships and the Fleet. It might take a minute for that to make a whole lot of sense, but turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. Not a whole lot of page flipping in this message, so if that's what keeps you awake, that little breeze that the Bible gives you as you're turning back and forth, you'll have to do a little bit better this time around, because I don't have one of those for you this afternoon. 1 John chapter 1, the first three verses. The ships in the fleet. Now, as you're turning there, I'll tell you the one thing I forgot to tell you all yesterday in our weird connection to this area. My wife actually works at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. We live a little closer to that Bowling Green than you all are to the one here, but just another bizarre connection that we have to this area. Praise the Lord, another way in which we can feel a little bit more at home as we're here. 1 John chapter 1, just the first three verses. John writes here, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and show it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." If you mark your Bibles, and this is one of my things I encourage our flock to do, if you mark your Bibles, you might mark that last verse there. "That ye also may have fellowship with us," and especially the part where it says, "and truly our fellowship is with the Father." I have three points this afternoon in this message. I would challenge you to remember the points. They might be easier to remember than the actual title of the message, because if you'll allow me, I'm going to paint a picture of some vessels, some ships at sea, in which the Lord has provided for our protection. When I had dabbled with this idea before, I only had one ship, and I challenged the kids in our church to draw a picture of this ship as I describe it. Y'all have a lot of children here, so it's tough for me to not issue that same challenge. There'll be three ships that I'm going to describe this afternoon. The relationship, the membership, and lastly, the fellowship. There are three very distinctly different ships. And each ship, as we progress through the points, build towards the final ship. We've been doing a study towards the beginning of last year, looking at creation, studying through Genesis, and we saw that the word water comes from the word mayim. I commonly mispronounce just about every word study I do, so that may not be how it's pronounced, but it's M-A-I-Y-M. I remember it because it looks like the word mayhem. Water is described or defined in Strong's as waste or vanity, something dangerous, something wasteful. Countless times throughout God's word, we are shown to have a great need for protection from that which is vain, that which is wasteful, that which is useless, that which is fruitless. And that's the same parallel as drawn by that word used to define water there in creation. Our brother read from Genesis 1 this morning that all life was pulled out or designed from or divided from that water that's described there in Genesis chapter 1. Vain or idle things were dangerous unto the creation. Having just seen Mammoth Caves, 412 miles of cavern, and all of it designed by water. Every last one of them. So it was a short journey for me to come to this illustration. Let us look at the first ship, the relationship. If you're drawing pictures, this would be the smallest of the three ships. Each one's going to get a little bit bigger, a little bit more majestic. This wasteful water is something that we are born into. At our first birth, we aren't given a choice. And there is no amount of protection that a parent or a loved one can do to prevent us from falling into this water. The mother, as we saw this morning in Genesis 3:16, the mother even goes through the birthing experience in travail because of our fallen condition into this water. We must be saved from this condition. So this ship that we're defining and describing, this first one, is a little bit lower to the water. I don't know if you have a good image of what the Titanic would have looked like. But if you were swimming in the water as the Titanic came up, you weren't going to just climb up into the Titanic. This ship is low enough that the captain, the pilot, the driver of the ship would reach in and pull in, invite in those that would be boarding that ship from the purposeless waste that they were swimming in. Picture now this small ship, again brought low enough to the water that the captain even gets a little wet as he reaches in to pull you out. One does not just climb aboard the ship of their own efforts. Has anyone tried to climb into a kayak or a rowboat or a canoe out of the water? If there's not someone in it, brother raised his hand, if there's not someone in it, that boat's flipping. You're not getting in the boat very easily unless there's someone there to steady the ship. It's not of us, brethren. This relationship is boarded by invitation of the captain, by Jesus Christ himself. They are plucked up from the mire by the captain and placed aboard the vessel. Though it is battered by the waters of sin, the vessel known as the relationship is never beaten. Praise God. It takes this battering for its passengers' sake, and it will never fail them. It's never lost a single member. No, not one. It's as a bruised reed that shall not be broken by its load, nor the winds of temptation. Matthew 12, verse 20. This ship is a transitional one, meaning that it's meant to take you on further down the water towards another vessel where you can dwell forever and ever. We'll get to that ship in a moment. It is an intimate ship. One can't help but get to know his captain, but there's nothing else of importance by comparison. Amen. You're not called into this ship looking with admiration towards the water, towards the waste. You're called into this ship singing the song of songs. Love and passion for the captain who saw fit to call you in. To be in this ship is to be saved. You've been given new life and now a purpose for how to live that life. This ship, as most often ships do, has a nickname. It's the OSAS, the Once Saved, Always Saved. Once placed on the shoulder of this ship, you cannot fall back into the mire. You'll get wet from time to time. Remember, this is a smaller ship. If you're drawing it, water will splash in. But the old recreation of the mire will no longer give you pleasure. You won't enjoy it anymore. Reminder, though you will never drown from the ship's seal, it carries you to an ever-growing vessel. It was never intended to be your final rest, though it was a voyage absolutely necessary for your next destination. This relationship's not one you can skip. And it's not meant to be where you stay. Our second ship is the membership. So you can start drawing your second boat now. Your second ship is the membership. Saved from the waste of unfruitful waters, the vessel relationship now carries you further and further from where you were found, to a vessel of light-guided travelers known as the membership. It's a little bit bigger. There's a few more folks on this ship. Its course is guided by the still small voice, the same still small voice that leads the relationship. Upon the sea, there are many memberships, for each vessel has a local obligation to her members. Those obligations include encouragement. The ship is consistently uplifted by its crew as they chase after the course charted for them by their holy captain. You wouldn't get on a sinking ship, would you? The ship has to stay afloat. It has to be uplifted. One of the other obligations is edification. In this ship, each member is allowed to be vulnerable, allowed to fail at times. They are loved the same by their captain and by one another as they are led to repent and grow. The third obligation is education. Each member, though they are all together, have different levels of sailing experience, different things in which they can offer. It is for the betterment of the entire body of the vessel that they share from one another's experiences to grow and become stronger shipmates. Oh, and by the way, the captain of your membership is not Brother Jim Duke. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We went a little deeper when I when I was given the idea, because this is way too deep for me to have come up with on my own. We just focused on the membership, and most of these wooden sailing ships had pulpits. Believe it or not, it wasn't a stretch for me to make this imagery. They had pulpits, and the captain wasn't in the pulpit. The one receiving word from the captain was in the pulpit crying out what direction the ship should go, that they would avoid danger. My wife always thinks of the Titanic. Can smell wise, can you? That's where the pulpit would have been. They received word from the captain that the entire ship should row to the left. They have different words for that on the ocean. But that the entire ship should do this or do that. And it's commands from the captain that come to the pulpit, to the under-shepherd, in which how that ship needs to go, how that vessel needs to go. Those on this vessel desire a better country than where they were found. They don't desire to end up in the water again. They don't desire for this vessel, this membership, to sink. And they don't desire for it to go backwards. They desire for a ship to go forward. Anybody been on a ship that goes backwards? The ships keep on moving. This desire for a better country drives them through many dangerous waters, one of which is unknown lands. Influence of the lost. Remember, mate, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Had to write it down. I don't have that memorized still from last night. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. Keep aboard the ship and be diligent. We've been commissioned with a precious cargo on the membership vessel. For these unknown lands, we are to cry out, come and see! Come and see! Come and see. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and come and see. Come aboard. Amen. One of the other things that they run into in dangerous waters is high winds or high pressure systems. For a ship, high pressure winds can destroy a sail and even cause a great deal of stress in the frame itself as it speeds along the choppy waters. Yesterday we talked quite a few times about the gap and how we shouldn't have a gap. You don't want a gap in the floorboards of a ship either. The picture continues to paint itself. The great fear of the world and mainstream media will have that effect on the membership if that's what they allow to guide them, if that's what they allow to fill their sails. Not just mainstream media in the world, but YOLO motives, peer pressure, they're not welcome aboard the membership. What fills these sails is God pressure. What drives this ship is God direction, God pressure. Another item that would be found in dangerous waters is being dead in the water. As ships aren't likely to go backwards, but if they're caught standing still, they're a target. They're a target. Nothing quite as bad as a ship without wind in her sails. Nothing quite as easy of a target as one that's not moving in any direction at all, but just waiting. Being lukewarm and unmoving, the membership might be found spiritually ineffective and dead. Let us beware and ever in communication with our captain, for our life comes from him, and our life should depend on him. Amen. Lastly, in the dangerous waters, there can be pirates masquerading about. At sea, and this is just a fact, an old sailing fact, many pirates would prefer to masquerade as just another trade vessel so that they could catch the membership unawares. Pirates is not like the Disney Pirates of the Caribbean movie where they advertised they were coming and they were scary. They just disguised themselves as a trade vessel so they could get good and close and then take over. They would prefer to catch them by surprise rather than engage in a drawn-out gunfight. Isn't that how Satan works? 1 Peter 5 Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. This vessel has a connection to make, and that is with our third and final ship, the fellowship. I remind you from our text in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 there, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. John writes, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and the emphasis here, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Those members of the membership don't forget the captain from the relationship. And they don't forget the direction in which the membership is to head. Before we move into the fellowship, I want to build upon an example that was brought up from the brother this morning talking about Paul and the Euryclidon. I always call it the Euryclidon in our church, so they get the idea that this 14-day storm was something to be feared, something to be intimidated. These men were readying the smaller boats to get off and flee. What did Paul do? Sit and have a meal with me. Don't leave this vessel. An angel came and told me, the Lord told me that if we stay together, not one will perish. I argue, brethren, this is the first membership. Jesus created the church, but this is the first full-fledged example of the membership we have. Because as that ship went through this 14-day storm, there wasn't much of the ship left, but everyone survived. Folks, it gets dark. It gets scary. We talked about statistics last night of suicide and depression. This life is not easy. It's a fallen, dying world. But if we stay in the membership, if we stay heading in the direction of the Lord, those who are called and placed there by the grace of God, you'll have everlasting life.
Amen.
You'll survive. You'll strive. And more than strive and survive, and more than just enjoying joy, which Paul enjoyed in that meal on that ship in the midst of that storm, we've been promised the joy of Jesus Christ, the joy to the full. The very reason the word joy was ever designed, we'll know. Will experience. The fellowship. A few things we should note about the fellowship. All memberships who faithfully follow the word of their captain are in pursuit of and will make connection, and by grace will always dwell nearby, waiting to join its crew for all eternity. This is the ship. As last night, that was the Song of Songs. This is the ship of ships. You can come up with a lot of other ships to make further points in this sermon, but this is the one you want to talk about the most. This is what we are to pursue. If the Lord's Holy Spirit, the wind is in our sails, that's the ship in which we're headed to. It is the largest of the ships. So if you're drawing and you didn't save room, flip the paper over and just put it on the back. It's the biggest of the three ships. It is the largest ship, for it is as a mansion on the water. Aboard this ship, one will no longer get wet. It's not a matter of getting wet a little bit and realizing you don't enjoy it. When you're on the fellowship, when you're where you should be with God, water just, like a duck, just rolls off. You don't even feel wet. You don't even acknowledge it. And when we're in the kingdom, when we're for all eternity a member of this ship, you won't get wet anymore, praise God. You won't be tempted anymore, praise God. Amen. Aboard this ship, no one feels the tossing and turning of the sea below. My father-in-law hates ships. He's about to go on a cruise in I guess a year or so, reluctantly. And he swears he'll feel the waves even on these giant cruise ships. You won't feel that on this one. You won't feel sick to your stomach. You won't look out with fear you might fall in. You'll be very well protected. Aboard this ship, none shall ever desire to stray. You won't look out and see another ship and say, I remember when and I'd like to go. You won't want for anything. You won't desire for anything. You won't be tempted by anything. Aboard this ship, and this is a big one, aboard this ship, all will hear clearly the voice of their captain and rejoice evermore.
Amen.
We'll no longer be confused. Is this how the Lord is leading? Is this the door that I should go in, or am I waiting for the door to close? Do we realize that in the kingdom, rapture or death, whatever takes us there first, in the kingdom, we'll no longer wonder, is that the voice of God?
Amen.
That still small voice will be very easily recognizable. Some who are close enough to that fellowship now don't have the problems that others have to discern that voice. But none will have a problem saved by God when a member of this ship for all eternity. Let us realize that the fellowship and the relationship are two very different vessels. Your relationship with the Father begins at adoption. Without this adoption, you will never see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must have a relationship with God. All will answer to God, but you must have a relationship with God to be aboard the fellowship one day. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, speaking to Nicodemus, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Later in the same chapter, Jesus said again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Without this relationship, we could never board the fellowship. Even later in this discussion, John 3:18, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The fellowship with the Father is what we commonly mistake of referring to as having a relationship with God. It almost gives the idea that there is a choice, that we can choose to have a relationship or choose to not have a relationship with God. This is misleading because it makes this relationship sound like an option. And I don't mean that you choose grace. I mean that on Sunday I choose to pursue grace, and on Monday I choose to wear jeans with holes in it and live however I want to. And on Tuesday I can decide again, and Wednesday be something else. Or worse yet, that I can lose it and then regain it, or put it on a shelf or a coat hook out there and just pick it up when I need it on the way in. I tease the members of our church when they leave their Bibles, that's kind of what they're doing. When you leave your Bibles in the pew, we're not a very big church. Nobody's going to take your seat. You leave that behind, you choose how you're going to identify yourself for the rest of the week. If you're saved, you no longer desire to live in the waters of sin again. Likewise, when you were lost, you desired the pleasures of the mire you wallowed in, not the pleasures of a little boat, not the pleasures of a medium-sized membership, and not the pleasures of the fellowship. Need proof? Invite some more visitors in. See where their desires are. As the waters of vanity and waste splash upon the born-again believer, a thought might cross our mind, hey, I remember liking this. But soon you'll be disappointed again with its fruitlessness. I'm hammering this to death. I have one more example. The preacher delivers a sermon on the preservation of the saints, how they could never lose their relationship, not the fellowship, the relationship with the Father. A man in the congregation stands and says, if I believed as you preach, I could just go out and sin all I please. The preacher replied, brother, don't you sin all that you want to? And the man responded, well, yeah, more than I want to. And he sat back down. See, we can never sin enough before. And how quickly we sin a lot more than we want to when we're saved by grace. What we should say when we say it's not enough to know of Christ, but we must know him or should know him, is that we must have fellowship with the Father. Brother's absolutely right. We need to know Jesus Christ. We need to repent. We need to get right. We need to seek after him. And if you're lost, you need to pray, draw me, draw me, draw me. But I can cry to you, repent, 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 repent. There's a lot of flesh that has to be crucified. There's a lot of us that has to die. A lot of us we have to give up on and walk away from. We should be striving, even those who are here today who have been born again for 50 years or more, we should be striving every day to know him. As a brother said last night, we've not arrived, none of us. None of us. As the guilt of our fleshly decision-making sets in and we turn back to the Father with tears and say, Father, I'm so sorry, I have forsaken you. We find that time and time again he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord for this precious truth. Salvation, as we're closing this illustration, we should not look at salvation as a life preserver or a life jacket. When you're on the membership, we're not throwing salvation into the waters of waste, saying, cling to salvation, cling to your last hope of salvation. Those little white and red donuts, it's called repentance. Grab a hold. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look about you as you swim about in waters of waste. Anyone ever swim in the ocean? Not the little lakes up by us, but the ocean. And you're far, far out, far enough that the undertow is pulling you out. You can't save yourself. You have to have something to grab hold of. You have to have something to at least kick up off of. You have to have something pull you up out of it. That is your state, dear lost one. You have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Brother said, repent. Grab hold of that life preserver and repent and repent and repent and repent. First thing you do every day, repent. Not today, Satan. Not today, Satan. Repent and repent and repent. And it might be 40 years of repenting. But the Lord is faithful and just. And when your heart truly means it, when your flesh is let go, when you have fought that off long enough, oh, the sweet joy of fellowship that will follow. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come and see. Come and see. How many members in here of this membership? If you don't mind, just a sign of right hand. That's your obligation. To cry that out from the sides of this ship. You don't have a lot of traffic on this road, so you'll have to be a little more creative. But to actually cry out, because this is the body. This is the church. This is the group of lively stones built upon the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we said last night, you don't cry out, come and see our pastor. You cry out that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The reality is the rapture could be between this coming Sunday and the next. Inviting them to meet your pastor might not do them any good. No offense. We might not be here. What you cry and throw out from the ship is not a donut of repentance that's not tied to a rope. It's tied to the gospel. What good would it do if my son were drowning for me to just throw him an air-filled donut? Good luck, son! He might stay alive on that donut for a while, but he's not going into the ship without it being tied to something. The truth of the gospel is tied to the only power given to man, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the power, what we're battling, the powers we spoke of this morning. We are battling with what we've been equipped with, truth of God's word. One last story, as again we look at the difference between fellowship and relationship, and this is really what drove it home for me. Isaac is my son from birth. Some of you are like, 12 years, you just figured that out, Pastor. Yeah, I finally figured it out. Isaac is my son from birth. He didn't get a choice, sorry, and can never lose that relationship with me. He's always my son. If he died, God forbid, if he died today, he'd still be my son. We'd still have that relationship. Father and child depends on a birth and is forever settled on that principle. Conduct of my own or his own can never change that truth. Right. And when he was a baby, and gentlemen, I'm sure you can relate, I had a man chair. Last time I ever had a man chair because two little girls followed him. But I had a man chair, a real nice chair, and it worked, Isaac. The chairs we have now don't. But I had a chair that worked. It reclined, it rocked. It had all the luxuries in 2006 that you could find because we didn't have kids yet and we could afford it. And I enjoyed taking my baby son, my oldest, my only child at the time, my beloved, and setting him on my lap and fellowshipping with him. We'd watch cartoons. And not the garbage that's on now. I had DVDs of the good old Saturday morning cartoons. I'm that old. And we would fellowship in that chair, me and him. He'd sleep on my chest, my big man chair, and it was when he fell asleep that I would fall asleep. We had sweet, sweet fellowship. That might sound ridiculous to some of you. If you have children, I doubt it. I doubt that sounds ridiculous. They grow so fast, you know. That fellowship I had with him could not be replaced with anything else. I gave up so many things. Meals at times. If he was asleep, I'm staying in that chair until he wakes up. Now, as precious as that time was, if he were to go, and I'll just say, because I'm from a pulpit, and get dirty, as babies often do, you know what I mean. That fellowship was spoiled a little bit. Might smell like spoiled milk at times, but the fellowship wasn't the same. Something had come between our fellowship. I couldn't have this dirt on my man chair or on my lap. I didn't desire to have a close relationship with this dirt. I desired to have a close fellowship and relationship with my son. Now this dirty, smelly boy is still my son. He's still in a relationship with me. But something's come between us and our fellowship. Still my son. Our relationship suffered no change as a result, but he had to be cleaned. Picture that dirt as sin. Picture God in his man chair. He says, Brother Jim, I want to fellowship with you, brother. I want you to come close. Come closer. I believe as we're to say, draw me, he says, come closer, come closer. And we desire to, but we stink. We stink. Another metaphor of dirt. What did the fiery, thorny bush command Moses to do? Remove your shoes. You stand on holy ground. Don't bring the earth. Don't bring the world in here with you. Clean your defiled mind and come fellowship with me. We need these vessels in life. Last fall, I preached the hardest message I'd ever preached. It was called It As Well. Brother Jim was there at Justin Meyer's meeting. It was dealing with contentment as the Shunammite woman lost her gift of her son. It was just a month or two after we had a miscarriage that almost took my wife. 6 hours she was in surgery, and I knew that a baby wasn't coming out, but I wasn't sure she was. It was one of those surgeries, brothers and sisters, where the doctor comes with a playbook and says, if we get in there and it looks like this, this is what you can expect. If it looks like this, this is what you can expect. If it looks like this, this is what you could expect. If it looks like this and this and this. And the outcome was varied all over the place. I knew there'd be no child. So at 2, 3 in the morning, as I sat in a waiting room by myself, I was already mourning the loss of a child and praying the Lord would give me my wife back. Schrodinger's cat, the philosophical debate, is the cat alive or dead that's put in a box with poison? In that moment, my wife was both dead and alive because I had no idea if I was going to see her again. We need these vessels because life hurts sometimes. We talked about the three Hebrew children. I believe the fire, the chastisement, burnt those binds. And there was a piece of me that had to burn that day too. I had to learn in those few hours that God is more precious to me than even the one I love most in this life. That's hard. That's so hard. But that's the necessity of these vessels. That's the importance of us understanding where we're headed. That's the necessity of understanding what these vessels, what these ships are for. We're called to have a relationship. We're called into having a relationship and given hope. What's Peter say? We should live a life that others would come and ask of that hope that lies within. Amen. We're called into a membership that we can encourage and edify and educate one another in our pursuit towards God. And what do we do with God when we get there? We enjoy sweet, sweet fellowship. Amen. If every Sunday, and we're being honest Baptists today, if every Sunday could be like a Bible conference, we'd never go hungry. Not just for the food, for the spirit. We're charged, are we not? Do we not enjoy the opportunity of the time that we have together with one another, hearing the preaching, hearing the teaching, meeting and fellowshipping with one another in the hall? Amen. That pursuit should not end after this weekend. That desire to experience sweet heavenly fellowship with one another, as it says in our text, for that is having fellowship with the Father, should never end. I pray the Father would use this illustration of the ships to open up our understanding, to lead us to repentance where it might be needed, that we would enjoy the precious, intimate fellowship with one another that leads to that precious fellowship with Him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. May God add the blessing to His word.